Hello, everyone. Or once again, this is Pastor Bronk Flint, the Prayer Center in Immokalee, and we're coming to you teaching the 10th lesson in a series of lessons called the Discipleship Training Manuals. I want to continue to welcome you to the Kingdom of God. These lessons are designed specifically for the purpose of helping you begin to grow spiritually. We've designed these in such a way is that we want to talk to you. We just want to talk to you. Don't want to preach at you. We just want to try to help you begin your journey in Christ. And from the very beginning, we've talked about that maybe you're just coming into the kingdom or you're coming back into the kingdom as far as you've been away for a while. Well, we want to try to build underneath you as much of a reference to all of the strength and stability that we possibly can. And so that has been our objective from the very beginning. I want to remind you of some things that I have said from the beginning concerning these lessons, that these lessons are designed for a quick reference or an orientation class into introducing you into lessons that will have much more detail. These lessons that have more detail of just the beginning of what we're introducing can be found at our website in greater depth under the headings of series teachings or category teachings. I'll repeat that once again. Everything that you've heard thus far is in greater depth at our website, and you'll find those extended teachings under the headings of series teachings or category teachings. So you'll find that and you'll say, okay, this will take me to the next level. And so let me talk about just mention really, instead of really talking about, because we've got an extensive subject, I think, today. And we're going to talk about fasting. And I think you're ready for this, and it's important that you at least get the beginning structure of this so that you can say, okay, I heard that. Don't quite all understand it completely, but oh, he said that if I go to the website, then there's a series on this. There's, you know, I can look under categories and the category of fasting, and it'll give me lesson after lesson. I didn't check before I came, but there's several lessons on fasting, and we start from just ground zero and build an understanding. So this is to kind of, these teachings are kind of just to give you a ready reference and start you all on a fast track. And so at least to introduce questions. So you'll have questions and you grow by questions. Questions are good. Like, what does this mean? What does that mean? So it's important for you to have these questions, and we want to answer them extensively. And where we answer them extensively is at the website. We've talked about the born-again experience. That's the first thing, what that meant. Who you are now, and meaning who you are now as in born-again or new creation. And we have defined what a new creation is, you coming into the kingdom of God. I don't know who witness to you. Maybe you found Christ on your own, but somebody was probably praying for you, no doubt. If nobody else, we've been praying for you, and you found us, and God found you, and then he introduced you to be able to get in touch with us through this website and through these teachings. So you've become a new creation, and we explained what that new creation is and what it was when it was created from the very beginning. One of the things that we said was it has new appetites. That's very important. Because understanding that you have, there's something inside of you now that wants to do certain things and does not want to do certain things that you used to do prior to Christ. And those things that you don't want to do are things really that the word would be, define as sin. And so there's something innately, when I use the word innately, I'm talking about just, it's there. It's a moral compass. You really don't know how now, you know, how that it got there. Well, we told you that it got there because you prayed and asked Christ into your life. But now you're just acting different. You're feeling different. You're thinking different. So this whole change in your life is really a spiritual change that took place the moment that you were born again. And with it became all these new appetites. And the good appetites are, you want to hear God's word. You want to hear truth. You want to hear, how can I continue to change? You know, the first step is to be born again. And then we describe the next step is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, those are just beginning places. There is an expansive kingdom out here in the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is started on the inside of you. So there's no end to the growth. You can continue to grow, and what you've felt, as in, let's say, the euphoria, the gladness, the happiness of coming into the kingdom, that's supposed to last you the rest of your life. It's like a new experience every day. It's like a kid opening up a new Christmas gift every single day that you live. That's how the born-again experience is supposed to be. Now, we talked about how to grow spiritually. You grow spiritually because you choose to grow spiritually. Some people get into the kingdom, and they just stay at a certain place, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They never grow past their infancy or their, you know, being a baby. We want to grow you up into an adult so then you can turn around and help a lot of other people in the same way that you were helped. We talked about the subject of prayer in general, how what prayer was, simply talking to God, and we spent, you know, 20, 30 minutes lesson talking to you about how important it is to communicate with God on a daily basis. Then we talked about the Word of God, which is the Bible. It's 66 individual books that's canonized according to God's holy scriptures. And these holy scriptures were written by inspiration by God. Man did not create these. God created them. He spoke them to men, and they wrote them down as they heard God's voice on the inside, or in the Old Testament, sometimes they would physically hear God's voice, and they would write these things down. So these are letters. They're actually letters from God. They're actually, we call them epistles, but epistles are letters. They're teaching directly from God. Then we talked about church attendance. Church attendance is so important. Now, this might not be a chronological order of things, but it's just some of the things that we talked about. Church attendance is so important. Whether you physically drive to a parking lot, get out and go into a church, or you're watching us or some church just like us, online on a continual basis. You can't get there. You may be 100, 200, 300 miles away, and you can't get there, but you can watch on a continual basis. The right church, we talked about that. The right pastor is vital. It's vital who feeds you on a continual basis. That choice is more important than picking out the right home, the right car, the right school for your kids. That choice can mean life and death. And so it's very, very important that you're picking out the right place to worship God and who to listen to on a continual basis. Praying in tongues was an incredible subject, and we've taught you, we even prayed a prayer with you, and there's a handout that you're going to see and have to be able to help yourself and help others in the days ahead to get filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues. Reading, just simply reading and meditating the Word of God, how important that is for your spiritual growth. And we talked about that during this time. And confessing the Word of God. What is confessing the Word of God? Confessing means to speak it out loud. And we went through three different dimensions of necessity. You know, there are a lot of different areas that you can confess the Word of God. There's a scripture or scriptures for every single need in your life. Multiple scriptures, probably hundreds of scriptures that you can take and confess. Now, we said we have confessions, scriptures, and so we have a scripture, and then out of the scripture, we developed a confession that really is right along with the scripture. And one of them was on emotions, the other one was on finances, the other one was on health and healing to your body. It may have been in a little different order, but we have all of that. And as I said, that's available to you during these lessons. Private worship. I think private worship was maybe one of the ones that we covered last when you last watched these videos. But we talked about the intimacy and how important it is for private worship. But today, what we're going to talk about is, let's talk about the subject of fasting. Fasting, I'm just going to, you know, there's a lot to be said, and there's no way that I can cover the subject of fasting during these next 20 minutes or so. But I can tell you this, we have, again, I'll remind you, at our website, in increments, fasting lessons. Go there and listen to those. Fasting is always defined in the Bible as going without food completely or partially. It's always a food subject. It's never ever fasting is abstaining, but fasting according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, is going without food. You can never find a place in the Bible, old or new, where people, when they fasted a particular issue. Fasting is not abstaining from certain things that you'd like to do or wouldn't like to do. Fasting always deals with food. It's just, that's the bottom line. It always deals with food. Now, it doesn't have to be a complete, like, go without all food or water. And obviously, water is very, very important, or liquid is always very, very important. So we just want to clarify that. What is fasting? Fasting is going without food, either completely or partially. Fasting is a spiritual discipline against the remaining sinful appetites of the body and unrenewed soul. Now, we've taught you that you got instantaneously born again. Well, where did that happen? It happened not to your mind, per se. It happened to your spirit. But we also talked about how that the sin nature was passed down from Adam through a choice that he made to rebel against God. Well, Jesus fixed that. He fixed the sin nature. But what happened to Adam was he fell in all dimensions. The day that he sinned against God, he fell in every dimension. His body changed. His body became cursed, and it was limited in its days of life. His soul began to think differently, and his spirit, the person on the inside, that absolutely changed, and that was what separated him from God. Well, when Jesus comes back into the earth, when he came back into the earth, he fixes one great big problem, and that was the eternal life problem, and that existed in the spirit realm. Jesus changed us instantaneously. Remember, you must be born again. And the moment that you ask Christ into your life, you are born again. Only problem, still have got a problem. The problem is this: it's not a heaven or hell problem now, and it's not even a bad thing that you're going to have to live with, and it's going to make your life miserable. But it is a challenge, however you want to say it. You're still in this body that is a descendant from the sin of Adam. And we find out, without going into any other scripture, which is many, is that this body of itself has appetites. You remember, you've got a change of appetites, but that change of appetites is in your spirit. And your spirit really has the power. It's the most dominant part of you. It has the power to dominate your body. It has the power to dominate your mind. So we're not talking about an equal basis here. We're talking about a parent. A parent is your spirit. It's supposed to rule over the little children in a godly way. But your body still has appetites. It will still do things that you shouldn't do if you let it. Your soul will still think thoughts if you'll let it. That are not right, and your spirit says, no, you can't do that. Well, fasting is a spiritual discipline against the remaining parts of whatever's there in the body that wants to rebel against God. Here's the good news, and I can't go into it, but in the future, you're going to get a new body. You're going to get, the Bible promises us, we're going to get a glorified body. And that glorified body is going to match perfect, in perfect sync with the spirit that's on the inside of us. And that glorified body will no longer have any appetites that are contrary to the spirit person. Fasting is demonstrated in the Old and the New Testament. And we go into that in our fasting series. Fasting is something that your spirit uses to overcome impasses. I'll use the word impasses. And character flaws. And we're going to talk about those two things. And we're going to have to use our time wisely because I want you to hear this. And again, you're probably going to get interest in this and you say, wow, he's stopping too soon. Go to the website. We have line online teaching on that. There's two things that fasting does, among maybe others, but two major things. It gets you past the impasse of unbelief and character flaws. Now, somebody said, what's the word impasse? Well, impasse, the word impasse means a predicament affording no obvious escape. It's a predicament that it looks like it's a deadlock. It's like there's no way around this. I can't figure this out or I can't get past it. It's an impassable road or way. It seems like there's no way, no solution. A deadlock. That's what an impasse is. Fasting is a provision in the Word of God that gives you more, let's say, more in your arsenal to be able to get things done and accomplish and changed in your life. There is help. You know, this is so neat. The thing about fasting is this, and I've got to watch myself because I love the subject. My flesh sometimes doesn't like the doing of it, but the subject matter and the truth of it is wonderful. If a person gets to the end of themselves in a physical situation and said, you know, I cannot seem to make any headway here, or they get to a place where they're at a deadlock in a character flaw, like an impasse, like, as I said, you know, your inward appetites have changed. And let's say a man has been changed and his appetites change, and in a moment's time he is freed from, let's say, a subject like pornography. He's freed from that. But yet, because of the flesh, that appetite comes knocking back at the door and it says, Will you just investigate again? Will you just see? It may be okay. You know, you could maybe just do it one or two times. And the guy says, no, I won't. And yet the character flaw comes back and says, hey, can I get in? No, you cannot. And there gets to be this battle, this kind of torment in the mind, like, that's not what I am, and I don't want to do that. I want that thing to completely go away. Well, we find out from the Word of God that there's a way to extinguish, absolutely, like, okay, I'm born again, I pray in tongues, can I add anything else to this to make this completely go away where it doesn't bother me at all? Or I'm fighting this sickness and I just, you know, I want it to go away, I'll do anything. Well, if you'll do anything, I've got something else to tell you. Here's the last ace to give you in this change in your life. If you get desperate and say, nothing's working, I'm praying, I'm confessing the Word, I'm confessing those scriptures, is there anything else? There is something else, and it's called fasting. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Let's talk about the example of doubt or unbelief. Is there a way to get around it? If I get so exasperated with the fight that I am in physically, is there something else that I can do besides, God, I say I'm healed, and what if it's not making a difference, or it seems like it's not making a difference? Well, let me read these scriptures to you. You can look these up later, and actually they'll be there and in the PDF that'll be provided for you. But this is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, And it starts in verse 14. I'll tell you just a little bit. Let me give you the synopsis. Jesus is coming up to a chaotic situation. He has been away for 2 or 3 days with three of his other disciples. And he comes up and 9 of his disciples are in a chaotic situation. There's a crowd gathered. And there's a man there that has a son that is demonically possessed. He's been tormented his whole life. And this man rushes up to Jesus and he begins to have a dialogue with him. And the dialogue is based on this: I brought my son to your disciples. While you were gone, I would have brought him to you, but you were gone and I was so desperate. This little boy has been tormented his whole life. He's wasting away to nothing. Can you help him? Because your disciples, they weren't able to help him. Now, I'll tell you this. At that time, his disciples were not born again or spirit-filled like you and I are, because now we really do have an advantage where they weren't at that time. But let's listen. You listen, I'll read. In verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him," that's the man I told you about, "and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic." That means his mind is really gone. "And he's sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water." So this really bad, evil thing was tossing this kid around. You had to watch him day and night. He's going to have some kind of fit or seizure or something. And you know, the man was tormented. His child was tormented. And he said this, he said, "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" Or that means to stay around and continue to teach you the things I've been teaching you. "Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Jesus apart. That means privately. They wanted to find out. They were in a quandary. They were in a real question. And they said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And I will tell you just real quickly, it was a quandary because they had been, we find from Scripture, they had been casting out devils without Jesus's actual presence being with them. They had been doing that on their own away from him for some time, and it was like, this doesn't make sense. Why can't we cast him out? So it was a legitimate question. But Jesus really was rebuking them for their doubt and unbelief, because he had already showed them the principles of the kingdom of God and how that they could stand on his word when he sent them out in truth. They could just believe and all things were possible for them. But Jesus said unto them, this is what he said. This the question again, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we cure him? We've been curing these others. Why couldn't we cure him? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For truly, or the word verily, maybe that you're reading, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, and this mountain right now, I want you to understand, that mountain for that man was his son that was tormented. And he couldn't leave him. He was subject to accidentally kill himself at any time. This man was in terrible. But what about your mountain? You may have come into the kingdom. You're born again, new appetites, new joy. But now there's a lot of different things that you're having to deal with. Maybe you're dealing with something in a marriage. Maybe you're dealing with something in your physical body. Maybe old things that you don't want to do anymore are standing at your door and trying to get back in. And a lot of different things, and maybe you're having some physical, as I said, infirmities come against you. But Jesus said, if you'll say into this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible. In other words, if you'll have faith, and that's a whole nother subject, as a grain of mustard seed, and we could teach on that for days. We've already taught on faith to some degree, but our subject matter today is fasting. But Jesus said, howbeit, which is a very, like he's analyzing the situation. He wants them to know, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, there's another place in the book of Mark that has the same rendition of this whole situation. And Jesus is saying this kind, and it's a gross misinterpretation for people to say this kind of devil, because there was no kind of devil that could stand in their way. They had probably met these kinds of devils before. They cast out all kinds of devils. But when it came to this, this devil was acting up. He was foaming at the mouth. He was putting on a demonstration, a physical demonstration, and it caught them off guard. It actually solicited, it took away their faith, and they began to rule out of their mind and try to get this thing done through willpower. And Jesus said, no, that's not going to work. This kind of unbelief, in other words, the kind of unbelief that is so subtle that you can't even recognize it. And the disciples couldn't even recognize it. The quandary was, why can't we do what we've been doing? And he said, it's because of your unbelief. Then he said, he gave them the answer. This kind of unbelief that stops things from happening will only be changed through, and a pastor of mine used to call it the power twins. The twin one is prayer, twin two is fasting. In other words, when you come to the end of your rope and you say, man, it's just not working. Everything that pastor said about confession and all this stuff, is there anything else to do? Is there any default mechanism? Yep, there sure is. Jesus said, what is stopping the thing from coming to pass, it can be remedied through prayer, which was a place of staying in his presence, and also through fasting. So what we find out is in this, we're actually burning the candle, I say, on two ends. We're believing God through faith in his word. His word says this. And then if there's something inside of us that said, you know, I'm scratching my head on this. Why doesn't this work? Well, you know what? That's okay. It's okay that you don't understand. Here's the answer. It's beyond your mind. It's down in there in the place where you've always seen where things really, you know, they didn't work out like you wanted them to be. And so a lot of times there's a program. That program is running on the inside of you. And even when you say, I want my finances to change. Here's the confession. Father, I believe you. I want my body to change. Well, is there anything else to do? Yes. Fasting. Fasting does what? Fasting reaches in and it eradicates or it kills that part of you that is unbelieving, that even when you would swear and say, you know what, I know I'm believing, you are believing as much as you can, but there's still part of you that is still hanging on to doubt. And what fasting does is it reaches into that place where you, I guess the world would call it your subliminal or your unconscious mind. Really, that's the part of you that you don't even recognize. But here's the thing. God provided a way through fasting for you to change these things. Let me go to one other scripture. This lesson may be a little bit longer, but I want to finish it up because you'll have ample kind of ammunition to go after things in your life at your own volition, at your own. Nobody can make you fast. Nobody can command you to fast, but you fast. No, I would say no earthly person. Jesus has commissioned us in another place to fast. But I'm going to read to you this also. This we talked about how fasting touches doubt and unbelief. Now I'm going to be just a few moments here on fasting touching character flaws in a person's life. And we've kind of covered that a little bit in what we just said. But this is out of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. It says, then came to him, that's Jesus, the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, or oft, but it's often, but thy disciples fast not? Now, that's his disciples were Matthew and Luke and John. No, not Luke. Luke was not one of the original. Matthew and John and different ones. But they were his disciples. He had 12 of them. And they wanted to know, why are we fasting, but we're not part of your inner team, but your disciples are not fasting? And he says, but thy disciples fast not. That's the end of verse 14. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then they shall fast. What Jesus was saying is this. I'm going to put it in our kind of our street vernacular. We're having a party right now. I'm here. I'm kind of like the overshadowing anointing for these guys. Their success is based on me, so it's a continuous party for these guys. These guys are really, they're running off my, you know, my anointing, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to let them party and have a good time and enjoy the anointing that I'm provided for them. But he says, the day is coming when I'm going to be taken away. Well, we know that Jesus was. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he said, at that point in time, the bridegroom, which he addressed and said, that's me. And of course, I will tell you this, if I haven't told you already, you and I are the bride of Christ, male or female, we're the bride of Christ. That's the typology in the Word of God. But he said, when the bridegroom shall be taken away, then they shall fast, meaning all of us who are part of the bridegroom, are part of the bride, will fast when the bridegroom is gone. And then Jesus says this, and this I'm going to just kind of go over a little bit, and I'll tell you that the more of it is at our website to understand, because this might be just a little bit like, huh, what? I'll tell you, I'll give you a little bit, but I'll tell you more efficiently the latter end of it, what it really means. And then you can investigate and read and go to our website, as I said, and dig out those fasting series. Jesus said, no man putteth a piece of new cloth, the same subject is on fasting. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh away, or taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Let me just go to the second part of this, because the second is an exact mirror of the first. Both of them say the same thing. Jesus is saying this, I'm about to leave the planet, and I'm going to give to mankind the opportunity to be born again. That's what's happened to you. But just like I said to you, you're living in a body that still has the capacity to want to do things that the spirit man doesn't want it to do. You could still look at things you shouldn't, or think thoughts you shouldn't, or even want to, you know, your body would say, let's do this. Well, you have the authority to say no to it. But that's the body that you live in. That is, in this instance, the wineskin. It's also the place where doubt and unbelief lives as well. But it's the place where character, if you have any character flaws, if you have any things that like, before I came into Christ, I really did not like this person. I hated this person. Now the Bible tells me I must love them, but boy, I'm having a hard time loving that person based on what they did to me. That's living in that place where Jesus would call that the wineskin. That's the wineskin. Now Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is about to pour new wine, which is the new nature, into that wineskin. Jesus said this, no man would put, in other words, it's an unthinkable thing to put new wine into an old wineskin. Or in another scripture, it says, or here it says bottles. That word bottles, they didn't have plastic bottles or glass bottles. That word bottles is the word wineskin. That's how they preserve their wine or liquid, you know, substance like wine. So once the wine was placed in those bottles, as, you know, Matthew has it, or wineskins, the wine would ferment and gases would, you know, be released and the expansion. You'd have a bottle this full, you know, or this big, and then over time the gases would expand it and it would kind of, the elasticity of that bottle would be stretched. Well, here's the thing. Jesus promised this. In respect of knowing what your body was capable of, it was capable of still going back and saying, I don't like that person or I hate that person. Is there a remedy for that? Jesus is going to, by the Holy Spirit, pour new wine into our old vessel, and he promises us this. You wouldn't do that, because that would destroy the person. But here's the remedy, fasting. Fasting has an effect on your body. Not only does it have an effect to get rid of unbelief, like we talked about in Matthew 17, but it also has an effect on your body to get rid of character flaws. You don't like this. I don't like this. I know it's wrong, but yet still there's something inside of me, and that's not really the deep inside of you. It's kind of in the mind and in the body. I want to get rid of this. Jesus said, okay, here's what fasting does. When I leave, my disciples will fast, and it'll help them. It'll help them destroy unbelief. It'll help them with character flaws as well. We define that much, much more in these series under categories and subjects. There are numerous types of fasting. I won't go into that. Fasting can heal your body. Oh, the benefits of the healing of your body. You can find that out in Isaiah 58, and we go into that really extensively in some of our fasting series on the healing of the body and what benefits that provides. So I would just encourage you, become more familiar with our website. I think if I can leave you in this lesson saying anything, is that obviously, there's so much more for you to investigate concerning fasting. But if you're kind of like at the end of your rope and you say, wow, I'm praying in tongues, I'm confessing the scripture, things aren't changing. Well, they are changing, but is there a default or is there something else you can go to? Boy, if you get desperate enough, and I will say this, you don't have to be desperate enough. You just begin a regiment of some sort, and we teach you that at our website, how you can begin a regimen that won't hurt you physically. And fasting is something that you need to add to your arsenal to grow up in Christ and become more of who His Word describes that you are. We bless you. We pray these lessons are helping you to grow spiritually, and we're here for you in the days ahead. God bless you, and amen.